When you look at a seismograph, one of those machines that measures earthquakes.
Right, the ones with the needle and the long roll of paper.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Most of the time, that needle is just humming along. You get a tiny zigzag here, a little bump there.
Right, it's just the normal, everyday background rumble of the earth.
Exactly. And it's comforting, really, because it represents the baseline. It tells you things are stable.
Yeah, it's the constant hum of the status quo. You barely even register it because, it's the environment you've grown accustomed to living in.
Right.
I mean, your entire societal infrastructure is essentially built to withstand those tiny, predictable vibrations.
But then suddenly, that needle just jumps.
Right off the paper.
Literally swings wildly off the chart. The ink splatters everywhere. And you realize in that one single instant, the ground beneath your feet has fundamentally shifted.
Yeah.
You aren't just experiencing a tremor anymore. You are experiencing a full-on rupture. And the landscape you walk out onto the next morning, it will never look exactly the same again.
Because that moment of rupture forces an immediate recalibration of, like, everything you thought was stable.
Right.
The roads you used to take are blocked.
Yeah.
The structural integrity of the buildings around you is suddenly in question. You have to reevaluate your whole reality.
And today we are looking at the political and historical equivalent of that needle jumping completely off the paper.
We really are.
We are stepping into something genuinely unique for our deep dive today. We aren't dissecting, a standard news article or a scientific paper or an op-ed.
No, this is much bigger.
It really is. We are exploring the architectural blueprint for a massive multi-part historical project. It's called the Dossier Trump 2015 to 2029.
And it is quite literally a foundational document. I mean, it establishes the rationale, the core themes, and the overarching goals for attempting to comprehensively document an entire highly volatile political era. The sheer scale of the ambition here is what makes it so compelling to me. We are looking at the framework for a 21-chapter series designed to map out a synchronized global shift.
A 21-chapter series? That is a massive undertaking. And I want to set the mission for our deep dive right out of the gate here.
Let's do it.
We are here to unpack this blueprint, and it all stems from one specific central question that serves as the spark for this entire project.
Right, the big question.
Yeah, it's a question that sits at the very heart of the last decade. And that is, what happens to a democracy when political relations change, institutions are under pressure, and the world order shifts?
See, that is the kind of question historians usually don't dare to tackle until a century after the fact.
Right, when everyone is dead and gone.
Exactly, when all the dust has settled and the long-term consequences are just obvious. But this framework is attempting to structure that question while the ink is literally still drying on the pages of history.
Which is incredibly ambitious.
It's an incredibly complex premise because, it forces you to look at a system in motion rather than a static event in the past.
And because these are incredibly heavy, globally significant themes, I mean, we're talking about democracy under pressure, shifting world orders,
Big stuff.
really big stuff. So we need to be clear about how we are going to navigate them today. Our mission is to take these massive global concepts and make them thoroughly understandable.
Yeah, to keep it grounded.
Exactly. Whether you're a student trying to piece together the architecture of the modern geopolitical landscape, or you're just an informed observer who has lived through every minute of this and is just trying to synthesize the noise, we are going to break down the mechanics of this era. We
Right.
want to understand the how and the why, not just list the what. We want to keep this accessible.
And that approach is vital, I think, because when you start throwing around terms like institutional pressure and geopolitical realignment, it can easily detach from the human reality on the ground.
Oh, absolutely. It sounds like a textbook.
Right. But at its core, this blueprint is a study of human society. It's an examination of how collective populations, legal frameworks, and international alliances handle rapid, unprecedented, and overlapping change.
So let's rewind the clock to the starting line of this whole era. The year is 2015, specifically the moment Donald Trump announced his candidacy.
Ah, yes. It's the moment of the golden escalator.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating to look back at how that exact moment was initially processed by the global community.
Right, because at the time, it was certainly recognized as a highly striking, unorthodox political moment.
Oh,
It was
definitely.
a spectacle, right? But almost no one suspected that this singular announcement would act as the catalyst for a period that would fundamentally alter not just the United States, but Europe and the entire architecture of global relations.
No, the underestimation of the moment is actually a critical component of the historical record this dossier is trying to build.
How so?
Well, very few political figures in modern history have had such a massive, immediate influence on domestic politics, international relations, the economy, the media, and even fundamental social relations between citizens.
Yeah, that's true.
The footprint of that influence is just so expansive that it necessitates a 21-chapter historical deep dive just to map its contours.
But, you know, before we can even begin to map those contours, we have to establish the primary ground rule for how this era is being documented.
Right, the ground rules.
And this is where the project introduces a concept that I found completely gripping. The dual reality.
Yes, the dual reality.
The framework recognizes that you cannot look back at this 2015 to 2029 window through a single unified historical lens, because a single unified reality basically ceased to exist.
Exactly. If you want to understand the actual dynamics at play.
Or real drivers.
Right? The forces that drove policy, elections, and cultural shifts.
Yeah.
You have to impartially document two vastly different perspectives.
Yeah.
You have to understand how two groups of people can look at the exact same set of facts, the exact same political actions, and synthesize two completely incompatible realities.
Okay, let's unpack this. Let's break down the mechanics of those two realities, starting with what we'll call the supporter's view.
Okay.
In this framework, the rise of Donald Trump and his political movement isn't viewed as an aberration. It is viewed as a necessary correction.
And we really need to dwell on the mechanics of that phrase, necessary correction.
Right.
This isn't just about preferring one tax policy over another, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This worldview is rooted in a profound, deeply felt belief that a political elite.
Like the managerial class in Washington?
Yes. Washington, the media, international institutions, the belief that they had entirely lost sight of the common citizen.
Wow.
In this reality, the system wasn't just slightly flawed. It was structurally broken. It was actively ignoring the economic and cultural needs of the everyday person.
Right.
Therefore, it required an outsider. It required a highly disruptive force to bypass the traditional gatekeepers and forcefully correct the course.
You know, it's like the architectural equivalent of realizing your house has a rotting foundation.
Okay, I like that analogy.
You don't just hire an interior decorator to put a fresh coat of paint on the walls and buy some new curtains.
Right, that would be useless.
Exactly. You have to bring in the heavy machinery, you have to rip up the floorboards, tear out the drywall, and expose the rot, even if it makes the house uninhabitable for a little while.
Because the demolition isn't the goal.
Right. The demolition is the necessary prerequisite to saving the structure.
That is exactly how that reality operates. But then, you know, we have to examine the second lens, which is documented with equal weight in the source.
Yeah.
And that's the critic's view.
And in the critic's reality, this exact same political movement is processed as a fundamental challenge to democratic norms, international cooperation, and institutional stability.
So if we borrow your architectural analogy.
Yeah, let's do it.
The critic's reality sees that same heavy machinery pulling up to the house, but they don't believe the foundation is rotting.
Right.
They believe the house is fundamentally sound, albeit in need of some maintenance.
Okay.
So when the heavy machinery starts tearing down walls, they see a reckless existential attack on the load-bearing pillars of the entire democratic structure.
Oh, wow.
The critic's reality is one where the unwritten rules of the game, like the norms of peaceful transition, the stability of the justice system, the reliability of international alliances, they see all of that being systematically dismantled.
And here is the crucial takeaway for our analysis today and for you listening at home. We are not here to adjudicate which reality is objectively correct.
No, definitely not.
The dossier itself is built on a foundation of strict neutrality. It takes absolutely no sides.
And that neutrality isn't just some polite journalistic exercise, you know, it is an absolute analytical necessity.
Right.
The purpose of this project is not to validate your personal political preferences, because if you only look at this era through the lens that makes you comfortable, you're entirely blinding yourself to the actual engine of the era.
Which is what?
The engine is the friction between these two realities.
You can think of it as a giant national Rorschach test.
Oh, yeah. That's a good way to put it.
You have an ink blot on a piece of paper. One half of the population looks at the exact same ink blot and sees a heroic, necessary demolition of a corrupt system.
Right.
The other half looks at the exact same ink blot and sees a terrifying authoritarian attack on democracy itself.
Exactly.
If you are a historian trying to write the history of the Rorschach test, your job isn't to declare that the ink blot is actually a butterfly.
No.
Your job is to document how the sheer intensity of those two conflicting interpretations caused the people in the room to start throwing chairs at each other.
Yes. The heat generated by that friction is what powers the entire timeline.
Right.
But documenting that timeline presents a massive structural problem, which brings us to a really fascinating critique embedded in this blueprint.
Okay, what's the critique?
It asks how we're supposed to process all this history while we are actively living it. And it points out a catastrophic flaw in our modern information diet.
The obsession with the daily news cycle.
Yes. The relentless, inescapable gravity of the now. The creator of this dossier realized that the way we consume information about this era is overwhelmingly focused on immediate actualities.
Right, like a new statement is released.
A new legal conflict erupts.
A new poll drops.
Exactly. It is a constant barrage of hyper-focused momentary data points.
But wait, I have to push back on this premise.
Okay, go ahead.
Because if we are trying to map a historical era, aren't those daily data points exactly what history is made of?
Right.
I mean, if we aren't tracking the daily statements, the specific legal battles, the day-to-day political maneuvers, aren't we missing the actual history as it unfolds in real time? You can't chart a course if you don't plot the points.
What's fascinating here is that you're right that you need data points, but the blueprint argues that observing data points in isolation is analytically useless.
Okay.
The daily news isn't the problem. The exclusivity of the daily news is the problem.
Ah, I see.
It is fundamentally inadequate on its own. Because if you just plot 100 random dots on a graph and stare at them at a microscopic level, all you see is chaos.
Right, you just see a mess.
You see noise. What the dossier introduces as its guiding methodology is the concept of the long line.
The long line of history.
Exactly. History is never formed by a single isolated event. History is the mechanism of how events connect over time.
Right.
The long line is the line of best fit through all that daily noise.
Yeah.
It's the underlying trend. The objective here is to look past the daily political bickering. Not to ignore that the bickering is happening, but to look through it, to identify the deeper structural developments.
It's the difference between standing ankle deep in the ocean and analyzing every single wave that crashes into you versus recognizing that the entire tide is shifting.
Yes, brilliant analogy.
If you only watch the waves, you just feel like you're being battered randomly.
And it's exhausting.
So exhausting. And I think that explains a massive psychological component of this era, you know? The sheer news fatigue.
The exhaustion is literally a feature of the system. I mean, when your information diet is entirely algorithmic and optimized for breaking alerts, your brain is kept in a perpetual state of high alert reaction.
Yeah.
You completely lose all sense of historical scale.
But when you pull back to look for that long line, you regain your agency as an observer.
Exactly.
You stop reacting to the waves and start analyzing the tide. The world stops looking like a random, chaotic mess of angry press conferences, and it starts looking like a highly complex but ultimately understandable sequence of systemic shifts.
And to trace that long line, to truly see the shifting tide, the analytical lens has to widen significantly.
Right.
Because the moment you pull back from the daily domestic political bickering in the U.S., you immediately realize that this era is not just the story of one nation, and it is certainly not just the story of one president.
And this is where the scale of the blueprint completely shifts.
Yeah, it zooms way out.
It argues that while this intense political friction was dominating the daily news cycle domestically, the entire globe was quietly undergoing a synchronized transition.
Synchronized transition.
Yeah. The text identifies five massive foundational pillars of global change that were unfolding simultaneously alongside the 2015 to 2029 political timeline.
And we cannot understand the friction in the U.S. without understanding the pressure being exerted by these five pillars.
Okay, let's go through them.
Let's look at the first one, China. During this exact window, China didn't just grow. I mean, it solidified its position as a true economic and technological superpower.
And we need to explain the mechanics of what that actually means for the global system.
Right.
Because for decades, we operated in a largely unipolar world where the economic and technological center of gravity was firmly rooted in the West.
Yeah, mostly the U.S.
But China's rapid advancement in areas like telecommunications, artificial intelligence, global infrastructure development, it fundamentally altered that gravity. It created a massive competing counterweight.
which completely rewrites the rules of international trade and leverage.
Exactly.
And that gravitational shift pulls us right into the second pillar, which is Europe.
Ah, Europe.
With the economic center of gravity shifting eastward, and with the U.S. simultaneously dealing with intense internal political friction and reevaluating its historical alliances,
Europe suddenly found itself in a very precarious position.
Extremely precarious.
Because for half a century, European security was essentially a solved equation.
Right.
It relied heavily on the post-World War II order, NATO, and the implicit, unquestioned backing of the United States.
But as the long line developed in this era, that absolute certainty evaporated.
Wow.
Europe was suddenly forced to confront entirely new existential security questions.
Like what?
Like, how do we defend ourselves if the U.S. pivot to Asia becomes absolute?
Right.
Who are our actual reliable partners now?
And those theoretical security questions became violently real, which is the third pillar. Geopolitics, most starkly defined by the war in Ukraine.
Yeah. This wasn't just a regional border dispute.
Yeah.
This was a seismic event that completely shattered the illusion of perpetual peace on the European continent.
Let's look at the mechanics of that geopolitical shockwave. Because when a major land war erupts in Europe involving a nuclear-armed power, it forces an immediate, brutal realignment of global systems.
Right. It isn't just about troop movement.
Exactly. It completely reroutes global agricultural exports. It forces nations to instantly pick sides, isolating entire economies through sanctions.
Yeah.
It tests the actual durability of international law in a way we hadn't seen since the mid-20th century.
And as nations scramble to adjust to this new geopolitical reality, they're simultaneously navigating the fourth pillar, which honestly might be the most pervasive accelerant of all.
Technology.
Yes. Specifically, the explosion of artificial intelligence.
The blueprint highlights AI as a massive factor, and we have to be clear that this isn't about generative AI writing funny poems or making deepfake images.
Right, though that is part of the daily noise we talked about.
Yeah. But when we talk about AI on a historical, systemic level, we are talking about a fundamental alteration in how human knowledge is processed, how financial markets operate, and how information is distributed.
AI became the invisible architecture governing reality. I mean, think back to our discussion about the dual realities, the supporters' view and the critics' view.
Okay.
How do those two groups become so entrenched? They're fed by algorithmic content distribution systems that hyper-optimize for engagement.
Right.
AI systems learn that the most efficient way to capture human attention is to feed them information that continuously validates their pre-existing reality while demonizing the other side. Technology became the ultimate accelerant for political polarization.
It essentially weaponized confirmation bias on a planetary scale.
Yes, exactly.
And while technology is altering how we process reality, the fifth pillar is altering how we power the physical world. Energy.
This is a huge one.
The blueprint makes a very sharp distinction here. During this era, the transition to green energy evolved from a purely environmental initiative into a critical, hard power strategic necessity.
Right. For a long time, the conversation around solar, wind, and electric vehicles, it was framed mostly through the lens of climate change mitigation.
Save the planet.
Right. But look at the mechanisms of a synchronized global transition. If Europe is suddenly cut off from a massive supply of natural gas due to the geopolitical shock of Ukraine,
energy isn't just about saving the planet anymore.
Exactly. It is about keeping the lights on and the factories running this winter.
Let's use a grounded analogy here.
Yeah.
Think about the global supply chain required to build a single modern electric vehicle.
Okay.
You have raw lithium being mined in Africa or South America.
Right.
It's processed in massive facilities in China, then integrated with advanced semiconductors designed in California and manufactured in Taiwan.
Yeah.
And then it's assembled in a factory in Europe or Mexico to be sold in the U.S.
It's staggering.
The energy transition means that whoever controls those supply chain bottlenecks controls the geopolitical future.
Period.
Energy independence became synonymous with national security.
So you have these five pillars. China's rise altering global gravity.
Right.
Europe facing an existential security identity crisis.
Yeah.
The war in Ukraine tearing up the geopolitical map.
Yeah.
AI fundamentally rewiring human communication and economics.
Yeah.
and the energy transition becoming the new battlefield for strategic dominance.
And the core revelation of this entire historical framework, like the aha moment that ties this whole project together, is the understanding that you cannot isolate any of these developments.
No, you can't.
They are not happening in silos. They are completely inextricably linked.
Exactly. You cannot understand the intensity of the domestic political friction in the U.S. without understanding the economic anxieties caused by globalization and the rise of China.
Right.
You cannot understand Europe's rapid militarization without understanding both the war in Ukraine and their sudden vulnerability to energy weaponization.
Yeah.
You cannot understand the spread of populist movements without understanding how algorithmic technology amplifies distrust.
It's a completely interlocked system. It's like looking at the global power grid.
Oh, that's a good way to picture it.
If a massive storm takes out a key transformer in one region, the surge doesn't just stay there.
Right. It cascades.
Exactly. Right. It routes excess voltage into other grids, causing brownouts and catastrophic failures thousands of miles away.
Yeah.
That is what this era was, a synchronized, cascading global transition.
And when a system experiences that kind of synchronized cascading pressure, the structural integrity of the entire grid is tested.
Right.
Which leads us directly into the core theme of how this framework evaluates the era, the stress test on global institutions.
This is where we look at the international ripple effect, heavily involving not just the U.S., but Europe, Canada, and the broader concept of international cooperation.
Yes.
Let's go back to the central question of the dossier. How do countries adapt when institutions come under extreme pressure in a rapidly changing world?
Well, to understand the pressure, we have to define the institutions first.
Okay, let's do that.
We are talking about the courts and the justice systems.
Right.
We are talking about the complex mechanics of electoral systems, the free press, international treaties, trade organizations, military alliances like NATO.
The big stuff.
Yeah, these are the foundational structures built to mediate conflict and maintain societal stability.
But here's the structural flaw that this era exposed. Those institutions were built for a 20th century operating environment.
Oh, entirely.
They were built for a slower world. They were designed to handle one or two major crises at a time, moving at the speed of diplomatic cables and traditional legislation.
And suddenly, you plunge them into a 21st century synchronized crisis.
Right.
You have a legal system trying to adjudicate unprecedented political questions involving a former president, while simultaneously trying to regulate a rapidly advancing AI technology that existing copyright and speech laws simply weren't designed to comprehend.
It's overwhelming.
You have an international trade organization trying to enforce rules on a global economy that is rapidly fracturing into protectionist blocks.
It basically creates a massive institutional pressure cooker.
Mm.
The speed of adaptation is the critical variable here.
Right.
It's one thing for a society to adapt to the Industrial Revolution over the course of 60 or 70 years.
Yeah.
It's a completely different magnitude of stress when a society is forced to adapt to a global pandemic, a land war in Europe, an artificial intelligence revolution, a fundamental reimagining of global energy supply chains, and unprecedented domestic political polarization, all occurring essentially concurrently within a single decade.
I mean, the foundational institutions are just forced to bear an amount of weight they simply weren't engineered to handle.
Right.
The blueprint views this entire 2015 to 2029 era as the ultimate historical stress test. The goal of the 21 chapters is to provide a forensic accounting of how those institutions reacted.
Where did they bend? Where did they break?
Exactly. Where did the legal framework hold firm? Where did the electoral system show cracks? How did international alliances manage to rewrite their mission statements on the fly?
I want to pause here because it's really easy to get lost in the macro level theory of this.
Yeah, it is.
I want you, the listener, to think about the mechanics of stress in your own life.
Good idea.
Think about what happens when the fundamental rules of your environment change overnight.
Yeah.
Maybe a sudden restructuring at your job combined with a major shift in your personal life combined with a sudden financial pressure.
It is incredibly disorienting.
Right. It causes profound anxiety because your predictable baseline has just vanished.
Now take that exact psychological mechanism, that profound anxiety and disorientation, and multiply it across hundreds of millions of citizens simultaneously.
Wow.
That is the climate of this era.
And that psychological reality brings us to a really beautiful pivot in the architecture of this project.
Yeah.
We've spent this entire time analyzing what is happening, the global shifts, the institutional stress, but the blueprint reveals something deeply profound about who this entire endeavor is actually for.
Right, the ultimate purpose of the project.
Right.
It explicitly states that this dossier is, above all else, a message in a bottle for future generations.
For Tecumseh generations.
Yes.
And that drastically changes the methodology of how you record the history.
It really does.
Because if you just want to pass down a list of cold, hard facts, you don't need a 21-chapter deep dive. You can just hand future generations a timeline.
Right, bullet points.
Yeah. On this date, this election happened. On this date, this treaty was signed. On this date, this conflict started.
But a timeline only tells you what happened. It completely fails to explain why it happened.
Exactly.
And from a historical perspective, the why is the only thing of real value. The blueprint stresses that the goal is to capture the human element of this pressure cooker.
It wants to document the actual mindset of the population. When leaders made unprecedented decisions, what were the specific variables they were weighing? When citizens voted for disruptive change, what were the specific deep-seated worries that drove them to the ballot box?
Right.
What expectations or perhaps what lack of expectations did people harbor for their own futures?
It's an attempt to capture the emotional and psychological atmospheric pressure of the 2015 to 2029 era.
I love that. The atmospheric pressure.
Because imagine being a historian looking back at this 50 or 100 years from now.
Okay.
If you don't understand the sheer anxiety caused by the synchronized transition we just discussed.
The fear of technological obsolescence.
Yes, the economic insecurity, the geopolitical dread. If you don't understand that, the political actions of the era will look completely irrational.
Right.
You have to preserve the context so the choices actually make sense.
And this introduces a critical task that the blueprint leaves to those future historians, and frankly, a task that you as a listener will eventually have to undertake.
What's that?
When you are inside the storm, living through the daily news cycle, every single change feels permanent.
Oh, yeah.
Every crisis feels like the new normal. But history requires differentiation.
Yes. The differentiation between temporary disruptions and permanent paradigm shifts.
Yeah.
That is the ultimate historical judgment.
Exactly. When future generations analyze the data in this dossier, they will have to determine what was just the noise of the era and what fundamentally altered the human trajectory.
Right.
Was the intense political polarization and the fragmentation of shared reality a temporary feverish reaction to the introduction of algorithmic media?
Or did it become the permanent baseline state of modern democracy?
Exactly. Did the weaponization of energy and the fracturing of the global supply chain represent a temporary panicky reaction to a geopolitical crisis?
Or was it the permanent end of late 20th century globalization? We, living in the present, lack the distance to answer those questions definitively.
We just don't know yet.
But the dossier is designed to provide the clean, impartial data necessary for the future to make that assessment.
And in reading through this framework, amidst all the discussion of institutional rupture and global anxiety, there is a point made that I actually found incredibly steadying.
The perspective of historical recurrence.
Yes. The blueprint reminds us that while there are fierce proponents and fierce critics today, people locked in the dual reality who sincerely feel like this era is either the absolute apocalypse or the ultimate salvation of society. This type of massive societal upheaval is not a singular anomaly. It is a recurring phenomenon.
It is a cyclical process. I mean, if you look at the long line of human history, we have navigated periods of massive synchronized disruption before.
Give us an example.
Well, the Industrial Revolution completely upended labor, economics, and social hierarchies, causing immense political friction.
Yeah.
The period surrounding the major global conflicts of the 20th century violently redrew the world map and stress-tested institutions to the breaking point.
So the specific variables change. Obviously, they didn't have artificial intelligence algorithms or globalized semiconductor supply chains in the 1920s.
All right, the tech is new.
But the underlying mechanics of human reaction to rapid change remain remarkably consistent.
They do.
The stress on institutions, the rise of populist movements, the intense polarization, it rhymes. We are not free-falling into the unknown. We are navigating a particularly turbulent section of a known historical cycle.
Which brings us to the practical architecture of how this project plans to cover all of this ground.
Right, the 21 chapters.
Yes. To map a turbulent cycle comprehensively, the project is structured as 21 detailed chapters. Each chapter acts as a deep dive into the specific systemic shifts we've outlined.
There will be chapters dedicated entirely to the internal mechanics of democracy and the rule of law under pressure.
Right.
Chapters forensically analyzing the energy transition and the strategic realities of the tech revolution.
Yep.
Chapters specifically focused on the shifting, precarious roles of Europe and Canada in a newly multipolar world. And at the center of it all, chapters exploring the evolving trajectory of America itself.
It is basically designed as a holistic curriculum. The ideal audience is anyone who wants to move beyond the daily outrage cycle and understand the actual structural forces that created our current geopolitical and domestic reality.
But the creator of this blueprint recognized a fascinating structural challenge in writing history while the era is still ongoing.
Yeah.
Because the timeline is 2015 to 2029. We aren't there yet.
Right.
The world is actively spinning, and the daily news cycle, while inadequate on its own, is still generating massive, impactful waves.
You can't just ignore the present while analyzing the past.
Exactly.
So the project incorporates a dual-track approach.
Right. Alongside the 21 main structural historical chapters, the architecture includes a series of bonus interim episodes.
Yeah, these are key.
These are specifically designed to contextualize immediate, highly significant current events as they happen, ensuring the project remains tethered to reality. The text specifically highlights ongoing volatile situations like the geopolitical maneuverings of Iran, the complex realities involving Israel and Gaza, and the immediate political machinations within the U.S.
This structural design is brilliant because it allows the main 21 chapters to maintain their rigorous focus on the long line, the underlying systemic shifts.
While still addressing the now.
Exactly. While the interim episodes allow us to analyze the massive waves crashing on the beach in real time, connecting the immediate breaking news back to the broader historical themes.
And there is one final critical rule for these interim episodes that ties directly back to the project's ultimate mission.
They're fact-checking.
Yes. The blueprint mandates that these real-time updates must include rigorous fact-checking. They are explicitly tasked with addressing the statements, and often the falsehoods, proclaimed by political figures.
Right.
Specifically citing Donald Trump, his ministers, and his administration in order to establish and provide the correct factual information.
We really must be clear on the mechanics of why this is included, because this is not a contradiction of the project's strict neutrality.
Right.
Neutrality does not mean treating a documented falsehood as an equally valid truth.
Exactly.
If your ultimate goal is to build an accurate, reliable time capsule for future generations, separating factual reality from the intentional political rhetoric and spin of the day is a basic archiving requirement.
You have to do it.
You have to ensure that the factual baseline remains legible beneath the incredible manufactured noise of the era.
So as we pull all of these threads together and conclude our introduction to the architectural blueprint of the dossier Trump 2015 to 2029, let's crystallize the mission we are embarking on.
The mission is to fundamentally upgrade how we process history.
Yeah.
It's to escape the exhausting, anxiety-inducing gravity of the daily news cycle and trace the long line of a deeply transformative era.
It is about equipping you, the listener, with the systemic context needed to truly comprehend the world you are walking through today.
Right.
It's about moving past the sensational headlines to understand the deep, interconnected global pillars, from AI to geopolitics to energy, that are actively rewriting the rules of human society.
In doing so, by impartially documenting the immense friction of the era, capturing not just the cold timeline of events, but the profound human worries, the shifting expectations, and the heavy choices made while navigating this synchronized global transition.
As is the rule for this series, at the end of our analysis, we look ahead to the next step.
Right, chapter one.
For chapter one, we are going to wind the clock all the way back. We will explore the critical initial catalytic moments of 2015 that set this massive cascading sequence of global shifts into motion.
Yeah.
We will examine exactly how the spark met the tinder.
Mapping the journey from that initial spark to a fundamentally realigned global landscape is going to be incredibly revealing.
It's the story of our time. And as we close, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over, building on everything we've just unpacked today. We discussed how this era is essentially a massive synchronized stress test on the institutions built in the 20th century.
Right.
We discussed the idea of historical cycles and how societies have faced ruptures before.
The bending and breaking of the old systems.
Exactly. So here's the question. If this era proves that many of our foundational institutions are simply too slow, too rigid, or too outdated to handle the synchronized speed of the 21st century, when the dust finally settles on this cycle, what entirely new, unprecedented institutions will future generations be forced to invent from scratch to replace the ones that didn't survive the stress test?